I don't find any other place singing like we sing at Parker's Farms. I'm always glad to get back, because it's only for our singing. We're going to turn to the 6th chapter of John. During the mornings that I have been speaking here, from time to time this summer, we've been going along with our studies in John. Some of you were here last year. Remember, we started that last year. We're in the 6th chapter, and we're going to read from verse 22. This is rather a long reading, and our time is already going, so we'll hurry. Verse 22, John chapter 6. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone, albeit there came other boats from Tiberias, nigh unto the place where they had eaten bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had not found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, whence camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth his life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophet, And they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh to me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What then if he shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. Verse 66. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. May God bless his word. Shall we pray? Blessed God, we thank thee for this wonderful portion from thy word. We feel this in itself is a sermon. We've read a lot of it, but we feel, Lord, it's thy word. We pray thou apply it to our hearts now by the Holy Spirit in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Now, in John's Gospel, we are in that period which we've been calling the period of controversy. The first four chapters, starting from the 19th verse of the first chapter to the end of the fourth chapter, we call the period of consideration, when men were considering the Son of God. But when we get to the fifth chapter, and he works a miracle on the Sabbath day, then they start to fight him. And this is a period of controversy, argument going on all the time. In this period, we have three great miracles. The miracle of the healing of the man, the impotent man, and the last time we spoke, the healing of Christ, the miracle of Christ feeding the 5,000 and walking on the sea. So we have already now dealt with five of the seven miracles in John's Gospel. The miracle, we called our last talk, you may remember, we called our last talk the background for the discourse on the bread of life. That the feeding of the 5,000 was the background for what comes out in this chapter. This chapter is a chapter on the bread of life. The Lord Jesus says, I am the bread of life. So our subject this morning is the discourse on the bread of life. And it affects three groups of people. Look at verse 22. The day following, it says, the people. That's the multitude, the people. Look at verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him. And if you look at verse 59, it says, These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. So first of all, he's speaking to the people outside somewhere. And then he's speaking to the Jews inside in the synagogue. I have personally been in the ruins of that synagogue at Capernaum. What a thrill it was to stand there where the Lord spoke these words. And then in verse 60, it says, Many therefore of his disciples when they heard this say. So he's speaking to the people, to the Jews, and to the disciples. So we have a threefold division in this talk, this discourse on the bread of life. Now I can only touch the highlights because I would like to finish this chapter today, and that will finish the period of controversy, and the next time we speak, whenever that is, on John's Gospel, we'll be entering into the period of conflict. It's getting more serious, the period of conflict. So, speaking to the people. Now, I think we should sum this thing up in under the word materialism. Material satisfaction, if you like. You see, the Lord, after the feeding of the 5,000, the people took him, and they were going to make him a king. They said, this is what we want. Now, in all the politics you hear today, and there's a lot of it going on our television and in our papers every day, the whole thing that man wants is a utopia, you know? He wants something for nothing. He wants bread, and he wants his butter on it, and he wants all the rest. But there are very few people who won't do any work anymore. I don't care what you get. There's always something wrong with it, because we haven't got people today who take a serious interest in their work. It's a welfare age we're living in. Something for nothing. But this is nothing new. These people wanted something for nothing. The Lord Jesus had fed 5,000 men, and in the Greek it's very interesting to notice the word is andros, for men. And andros means men. If he meant men and women, the word would have been anthropi, people. Although anthropos is man, but anthropi would be people. He fed 5,000 men. Now there's usually a predominance of women and children in a thing like this. I don't know how many he fed. He fed 5,000 men. Maybe he fed 12,000 people. With 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. And when this happened, it says in verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force and make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. It wasn't his time to be a king. The Lord Jesus is going to be king. He's going to reign at Jerusalem. He's going to reign from to the ends of the earth. The whole universe will be beneath his scepter and his sway. And that time is very, very near. The Lord could start his reign between 7 and 8 years from now, I believe. So near it is, he's coming back. But the time had not yet come. Before the Lord could reign, there had to be a cross. Oh, I love the way he spoke to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He said, ought not Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? That was his father. Suffer these things and enter into his glory. And before the crown, before the throne, there had to be a crown of thorns, and there had to be a cross. And they wanted to make him a king then, and he disappeared, and went up into a mountain to pray. He was up there alone. He says so, himself alone. And when the evening was come, the disciples took a boat, and rowed across to get back to Capernaum, and left the Lord up in the mountain. And during the night, there was a terrific storm. It was dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a grey wind that blew. And they couldn't make it. They were rowing. They had gone 20 or 30 furlongs. 20, 30 furlongs, that's about 3, 4, 7, 28. Over 4 miles. 4 1/4 miles they'd rowed, but they couldn't make it. I think 13 miles across the lake at the north part. I think, Sea of Galilee, if I remember, 13 miles across and 26 miles north and south. They couldn't make it. And when they rode 20, 30 furlongs, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh to them, and they were afraid. This is now the 5th miracle that he did. He walked on the sea. And he said unto them, it is I, be not afraid. And they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the other side. That's how they got over. Now the people, the following day, the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw there was none other boat there than save the one into which the disciples had gone. How in the world could the Lord, they didn't call him the Lord, how could this prophet Jesus, who worked the miracle, how could he have got to the other side? They didn't know. There was only one boat. The disciples went in the boat. He wasn't there. So they found other boats, and they all took boats and came over to the other side, and they met him. And they asked him, Rabbi, whence camest thou hither? Whence camest thou hither? But how quick the Lord answered. Just as quickly as he answered Nicodemus, when Nicodemus began to flatter him and say, we know thou art a teacher come from God, the Lord in effect said, stop, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. He quickly stopped him and said, Nicodemus, religious leader as you are, you've got to be born again. And these people, they said to him, how did you come here? And he wanted to hear some wonderful story, and this is what he said to them right away. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracle, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Materialism. Material satisfaction. Welfare. Give us something for nothing. This is what we want. We want to better our environment. We want to get bread to eat. We want somebody that will give us bread. All the world cries for bread today. Thank God the Lord is coming back and He'll fill the earth with plenty. There'll be no starving people when He reigns. But He read their hearts. Now let's stop a moment, and our clock's going so fast. Let's stop a moment. Let's search our hearts now. You see, the things which are seen are temporal. I don't care whether they're Cadillac cars or any other kind of car, or whether they're beautiful homes, or beautiful furniture, or wonderful education, or whether they're a wonderful family. The things which are seen are temporal. They're going to end. The things which are not seen are spiritual. And so the Lord says, labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for the meat that endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him is God the Father's field. You and I are laboring every day for something. We're either trying to build a home or do something and get things belonging to this world. Or else we're not interested so much in the things down here, and we're interested in the things up there, the things which are not seen as spiritual. Search your heart. May the Holy Spirit search your heart and mind now. What are we doing with our money? What are we doing with our strength? Some of us haven't many years left. Who knows? Any one of us. Many of us here have passed man's allotted span. In any moment we could be gone. Let's use what's left for the things which are not seen. Labor not for the meat that perisheth, he says, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. This is how he dealt with them. So they said, now, what sign are you going to give us? How can we know? How can we work the work of God? And here's a simple answer. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom God has sent. How that agrees with Ephesians 2 verse 8. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast, not of works. What is the work of God? Not being religious and working religion. The work of God is faith. The work of God is faith. He says, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. And you'll find in all these, as he deals with these three types of people, he always comes back to that if you believe, you'll be saved. And that's what he's saying. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in the Son of God whom God has sent, that's the work of God. This is the way to get eternal life. Then he said, they therefore give us a sign. Our fathers did eat manna. You see, they were thinking of the bread. The Lord a king. He knew their hearts. He wouldn't have known that they were chasing after him to get some more bread, but he knew it. And they had it on their minds. They came out. They said, our fathers did eat manna. They didn't work for it. It came down from heaven. God sent bread from heaven without working. This is what we want. He said, our fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and they're dead. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, verily, verily I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. You called it bread from heaven? You found the manna like hoarfrost on the grass in the morning? You call that bread from heaven? He said, that's not the bread from heaven. Although it says they ate angel food. He said, this is the bread from heaven. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth his life for the world. They said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. And this is the answer. They said, evermore give us this bread. And here's the answer. He said, I say unto you, ye seen me and believe not. How false they were. Give us this bread of life. But they would not believe in him. The very thing he's telling them. Believe in me. I'm the bread of life. I will give you bread and you'll never hunger again. He said to the woman of the well, come to me and I'll give you water. If you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. So when you come to Christ and accept him as your Savior, you don't want the things of this world. You don't get thirsty for those things anymore. You're thirsty for spiritual things. You never get thirsty again because he supplies our needs. He says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. Let's go on now. Verse 40. This is the will of him that sent me, that every one that seeth the Son and believeth on him. This word believeth comes 93 times in John's Gospel. It's the key word of John's Gospel. Believeth. He that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe deep down in your heart that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Then I'll ask you another question. Have you the assurance of salvation? Do you know you're saved? Not because you joined the church many years ago. Not because you've been a good person or done the best you can. No. But because you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the Savior of the world. This is salvation. And this is what he says. I'm going to raise those up at the last day. Now let's hurry along. Verse 41. He's now got into the synagogue. The crowd, maybe some of them come in. But in the synagogue, he's dealing with a different class. He's dealing now with the religious leaders again. And these are the ones that wanted to fight him. Here we find in the other one, they were talking about material satisfaction. Now we're talking about religious objections. The Jews murmured, they grumbled over. They murmured at him because he said, I'm the bread of life that came, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. And they said, is he not this Jesus? Is he a carpenter? Is not this the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I come down from heaven? Because they knew nothing about the virgin birth. They knew nothing about the divine origin of the Son of God, that he was the eternal Son from all eternity, and he came down here in that miraculous way to be born at Bethlehem. They didn't know. And they said, we know his father and his mother. What are you talking about? He came down from heaven. What do you mean? Jesus answered them, murmur not among yourselves. He knew their thoughts. Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verily, verily, I say unto you, verse 46, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. What was his message to the crowd, to the people? His message to the crowd was, if you believe on me, you'll have everlasting life. What's his message to the religious Jews in the synagogue? The same thing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. He told the crowd, I am that bread of life. Now he tells the Jewish religious leaders, I am that bread of life. You receive me. And in so doing, in a symbol, in a form, you're eating of me. He said, he that receiveth me, he'll live by me. I'm the bread. We eat bread so that we can live. And day by day, you and I have to eat of Christ. It's a peculiar thing. It says further down we have to eat his flesh and blood. It's a little difficult to understand, but these are forms and figures that we assimilate Christ. We receive Christ as we receive our daily bread. We receive Christ and we live by him. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. In a sense, when we gave a place called Calvary, and we assimilate to ourselves the sacrifice of Christ, where he shed his precious blood and gave his body for us, he said, in a sense, you're eating of my flesh and drinking of my blood. I don't think that this scripture here has any reference whatever to the Lord's Supper. And to do this in remembrance of me, it breaking of the bread and the drinking of the wine, that's another thing. It's not mentioned in John's Gospel, by the way. One of the amazing things to me, the apostle of love, he never mentioned the Lord's Supper, which I love so much, but he didn't. But this is something that came long before the Lord ever talked about the Lord's Supper and remember me. He's talking about salvation. Here is salvation. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. And I'll raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. When I accepted Christ as my Savior in him, I received the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus in his great sacrifice. I accepted him, and I live by him. That's as I understand this scripture. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. He told the crowd, if you eat of this bread, I am the bread of life, shall live forever. He told the Jewish leaders, if you eat of this bread, you shall live forever. Now, very briefly, the third section. He's talking in the third part of this discourse on the bread of life. He's talking to disciples from verse 60 to verse 71. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? Do you notice, when we talk about the Jews, when he knew that the Jews murmured, he knew they were murmuring. And when he found the disciples, they didn't say it, but he knew their hearts. When he knew they were murmuring, he said to them, does this offend you? What if he should see the Son of Man ascend up where he came from? Back to heaven. It is the Spirit that, now he said the same thing to the third group, disciples. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing, the things of the flesh, the material things. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. We have to assimilate the words of the Son of God and the Son of God into ourselves. We accept him as our Savior. But there are some of you that believe not. He's talking to disciples. There are some of you that believe not. How the Lord knew hearts. Indeed, believe me, God knows every heart here this morning. The Lord Jesus. I heard of people that sat at the Lord's table for years and found out they were not saved. There are some of you that believe not. Let's ask ourselves the question. Has there been a moment in my life when I've really accepted Christ as my Savior? I call myself a Christian. I call myself a disciple. Am I really? There are some of you that believe not. But look at this sad verse. Oh, what pathos in this verse. Verse 66, I think it's one of the darkest hours in the Lord. 33 years on earth. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. If, when he talked to the people, he was dealing with the question of material satisfaction. If, when he talked to the Jews, he was dealing with the question of religious objection. When he talked to his disciples at the end of the chapter, he stopped talking about the cost of following him. The cost of following him. And when he put the cost before them, what happened? Many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They couldn't take it. They couldn't take that cost. I tell you, it's not an easy thing to be a Christian. We have to take up a cross daily. We may have to lay down our lives for the Lord Jesus. Many have done that. And things are moving very fast today. Who knows what's going to happen even in this country. Some of us might have to lay down our lives for Christ. Let's see what's going to happen in November. How God will arrange and arrange things as we head up towards the final days of this period on earth, this present day of grace before the Lord comes back. And as God prepares the world for his coming to reign, who knows what cost we'd have to pay. They couldn't take the cost. And they fell back and followed him no more. Oh, beloved, as we get into our retirement years, don't let me leave. Some of us have served the Lord for many years, in this assembly, in that assembly, this church, in that church, and spent our lives for Him all the spare time we could find. Some of us have spent preaching the gospel or ministering to His saints, trying to lead souls to Christ. And you know, it's easy to retire and sit back and say, well, now I'm going to do it no more. I'm just going to, I don't believe it. I believe we got to go on right to the end. Right to the end. Many of those, when they counted the cost, they went back and walked no more with Him. Let's stick together and go right on, working and serving and laboring. And don't let's rust out. Let's wear out for God, whatever the cost is. And one day, all right, if we wear ourselves out and we got done, doesn't make any difference. We spend our lives for Him. That's what we've got to do. Then said Jesus, look at the sad note here. Then said Jesus unto the 12, the others are gone, he's got the 12. Will ye also go away? Are you going to leave me too? You 12 whom I've chosen, can't you pay the price? As you count the cost, are you not willing? Are you going to leave me and go? Will ye also go away? Oh, look at poor old Peter. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the word of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. What a wonderful answer. Will he also go away? Let that be our answer now, as we reach the end days of our own life here. Will he also go away? For some here that are young and have all life in front of them. Will he also go away? The world is pulling. Material things are pulling. Will he also go away? Here's the answer. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered, have I not chosen you two, you 12? Only you were the devil, because you knew that Judas Iscariot was there. May God search our heart. And if you hear him call us this morning and say to the disciples, he spoke to the crowd, he spoke to the religious leaders, and then he speaks to the disciples and says to you and me today, will he also go away? May we answer like Peter, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ that should come into the world. So we pray. Blessed God, our Father, we thank you for speaking to our hearts the wonderful words of thy beloved Son, the great discourse on the bread of life. We thank thee, he is the bread of life, and we have assimilated him and received him and received the efficacy of his blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Oh, search our hearts. If there's one here that called a disciple, and the Lord knows our hearts, and he says, you've not believed, search that heart and pray. And if there's some of us here this morning that are thinking of taking it easy now and retiring, falling away from active service with you, help us, Lord, as long as we've got strength to go forward. And stay with Peter, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We thank you, blessed Savior, thou art our Master. We seek to follow thee in true discipleship. Lead us on, we pray thee, and may this message bring some eternal fruit for thy glory. We ask it in our Savior's precious name. Amen. I didn't mention lunch, but you all know dinner is served in the